We just got done with the intercession while we were recording the Enlace program. And one of the things that I had perceived when we were there and even throughout the night is just that people are facing a lot of opposition. And I know that you all are intercessors and constantly at it. And I want the people to be able to understand a little bit more about intercession. And that I've seen a lot of intercession, a lot of weird intercession, strange intercession. And yet I don't think that it gets or it produces a result. So I think it's important for us to talk to the people about how do you handle opposition? How do you deal with opposition? And opposition comes in different forms, right? We could be opposed, you know, even in a family, or it could be greater, right? Yeah. So it could be like you're trying to advance the kingdom of God. You're trying to, you know, do your assignment on the earth and bring the purposes of God, right, to fulfillment. But yet there's this opposition that, you know, what is it? How do we help the people break it? How do we help the body of Christ? And something that I've learned, right? You guys can just chime in here and jump on. But something that I've learned, whenever you feel the opposition, one of the key things to understand is that they're not, this demons, you know, principalities, rulers, authorities, is that's who we're fighting with, right? Against Ephesians 6. But it's really not our fight. Mm-hmm. It's God's battle. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. And I think that's key, is that it's not our battle. Mm-hmm. You know, Joshua said, you know, something along those lines, like if God was, are you for me, God? You know, fight my battle. And then God's like, I'm not for you. I'm not against you. You know, this isn't your battle. It's God's. So we need to understand that there's just this bigger picture.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we can become so
consumed.
Very consumed.
Yeah.
And so self-absorbed, you know, and it's not our battle. And I think when you have that clear, then it's easier to fight from a place of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Because God wants his purposes to prevail. God is going to cause his battles always to be won. The enemy is never going to win. He only wins in the battles we permit him to win.
Yeah.
When we relinquish our authority.
I think that's something you've taught us, is like, never exalt what we're going through or what we're feeling or the attack, the opposition. Always exalt God and make him bigger. And like you shared, where we can become consumed with, oh my goodness, I feel oppressed. Or oh my goodness, I'm facing opposition at work or my family or whatever it may be, you know. So I think that has been key in my life, and I'm sure they can vouch for it as well. And exalting God always, and keeping our eyes, like you just preached, focus, you know, focusing our eyes on him.
Well, since the beginning, that's true. And since the beginning, God always faced opposition. I mean, think of Herod. You know, he ordered all the babies to be to be killed, because here's the plan of God that's about to be fulfilled on the earth, and the purposes of God are about to be fulfilled. Moses, right? He's the deliverer now, and all of a sudden, now kill all the babies. Satan hates the plan of God. Satan wants to destroy the plan of God. And so we have to know, this is not my plan. I'm just here, a small little portion of the bigger picture. And of course, he's going to back us up.
Yeah.
And he does it in different forms. And there's different strategies, and that's where intercession comes in. But God is going to always win.
Mm.
Always. Because they're his plans and his purposes. And like you stated, Mireya, it's so key. We don't get caught up in this devil, you know?
Yeah.
Or people be like, oh my God, the devil's attacking. Yeah. The devil's always going to attack.
Yeah. I think we give him more credit than he deserves.
Yeah.
Truly. And I think when we get to heaven, I think a lot of people are going to be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to be like, I made you that big and you're that small.
Wow, that's good.
I think we're going to be shocked and how big God has made his sons and daughters.
Yeah.
I mean, think of all our positions in the kingdom. You know, we're kings.
Yeah.
We're priests. We're ambassadors.
Yeah.
Those are all positions
in
the realm of the Spirit.
Yeah. And I think even interceding from that position.
Yeah.
It's powerful.
I think one of the main things, like for me, like in my intercession, it changed when I stopped really shining light on, like, you know, witchcraft and all those stuff coming in, and when you just like just really just focus on what God wants to do during your intercession and not just focusing on that. Does that make sense?
It's completely. Yeah. And I think that some of the strategies that come into play in intercession when that happens is now you'll be like, let's exalt him.
Yeah.
And so we start to exalt God, you know.
Yeah.
You know, we exalt him in different ways.
Yeah.
Be it his names or, you know, just in different ways we just start to exalt God through praise.
Through shouts.
Shouts. Mm-hmm. I think we did that on Sunday. You've been shouting quite a bit. I'm kidding. All our intercessors are in here. We're just chatting. But it's there's such power in intercession. And then when you think of Jesus, how he's just the great intercessor, and he's always going to win. Yeah. And I've learned that throughout the years, that like the enemy just really wants you to freak out, I guess. I don't know if that's the right word.
Yeah, that's a big one.
But just almost feel like overwhelmed by we're being attacked, you know.
Yeah.
Well, when you read from Genesis all the way to Revelation, even Jesus was opposed.
Yeah.
You know, there was always something that opposes the plans of God. And the when you look at the apostles, they spent, you know, the apostles spent most of their time in prison.
Yeah.
I mean, from that place, Paul wrote the Bible in prison. They were always trying to lock them up, trying to stop their mouths, trying to, you know, do this and the other. And I think we just have to get really good at facing situations and how do you overcome.
Every time we've always faced an opposition, like, there's always something better at the end.
Oh, that's true.
And every year, I mean, or every season, we've always faced an opposition. Yeah. And then, boom, there's something better at the end.
That's, that would be my second point, right? Aside from, you know, the fact that it's not our battle, it's God's.
Yeah.
But, like, there's always something at the other side of that. Like, why is it being fought so much?
Yeah.
Mm.
You know, why did the Philistines bring a barricade to David? What was at the other side? They really tried to stop his kingship. They just, from the moment he was anointed to the moment he took the throne, because when they poured that oil on him, Samuel did, and said, you're the next king. Listen, he didn't step on the throne.
Yeah.
There were oppositions in his life. And I think people that are watching us probably are facing oppositions in family.
Yeah.
There's always something, just three steps, you know. Somebody might say, well, I'm like taking five steps forward, and then it's like three steps back. And
And I think the problem could be, too, where we say, oh, there's opposition. I have to take 10 steps back because there's something fighting me, but then there's really nothing there against you.
That's good. Yeah. I think, like you say, where we create maybe the opposition in our head, but maybe it's necessary, or maybe it's nothing.
Could be that, too, yeah.
So how do you identify if it's a made-up opposition or if it's you're really being opposed?
I think the voice of God and your perception. Your perception cannot be altered or hindered.
Yeah.
The Bible says that we prophesy in part. So if we are going to know, is there something here? Is there something that's really opposing me? I would need to do what David does. Did best, and he would take the ephod and he would ask God, and he would never fight a battle that God never told him to fight.
That's good.
So first I would say, okay, do I need to fight this? Is this even a fight?
That's really good.
Or Jesus faced opposition, but the opposition led him to the cross, which led him to save humanity. So some oppositions God isn't gonna, he's not gonna remove. I need to know, is this an opposition I remove? Or is this an opposition that needs to remain because it's only going to lead me to?
Oh, that's really good.
Joseph's a good example because God did not remove his oppositions.
Yeah.
He was falsely accused, thrown into a prison, left the opposition there. His brothers left the opposition there.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't get rid of Judas Iscariot, called him his friend, invites him to the dinner, and then allows him to kiss him and then tells him, do what you have to do. The opposition was not removed because it was only leading him to something bigger. In the opposition, opposition, I think, can create things in us. Molds our character.
Yeah.
It becomes the nacre that creates the oyster.
Yeah.
So if the if the attack, that sand that comes into an oyster, the oyster secretes nacre. Okay, so the sand comes in, nacre secreted, right, to fight that. But that's what's creating the oyster. You would never have oysters, or pearls, I should say. That's what's creating a pearl. You would never have pearls if there was no irritation external or external opposition. You would never have it. The pearl is created because of the opposition. However, God put nacre in an oyster, and it's the secretion of a substance. Yeah. We don't have nacre, but we have the Holy Spirit. In our opposition, the Holy Spirit starts to go to work, right? But that's creating something in us. Mm. What it's creating, it's different, and it varies at different seasons in our lives. Sometimes it's creating endurance, sometimes perseverance, sometimes character. Sometimes it's needed. Mm-hmm. That opposition was definitely needed in my life to grow up, to learn something, to mature, to grow. But it also maybe catapulted me. Mm. So you make a really good point, because there's always something behind the opposition. Yeah. That's powerful.
That is really good. That's very
powerful. So then we welcome it when it needs to be.
Yeah.
How about when it's demonic? When it's just like, I need to move this thing now.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think you can always tell, like, whenever you can always tell when it's like that. Like, you're like, oh, dang, something has to break, you know? Like, I'm going to push through this. I don't know how, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think when it starts to disrupt what God wants to do, if it's a disruption of what God wants to do, you'll be able to detect it. God, Jesus didn't remove the Roman soldiers. On the contrary, he healed them, you know, the ear and the whole, you know, he's just like healing them. And the soldier, I can imagine his face after he heals them, but he doesn't remove them. He's just like, here, you know, because he knew the plan of God.
Yeah.
So I never got in the way, but like Peter, he rebuked.
He did. He's like, Peter, yeah, exactly. That's a good point.
Yeah.
He rebuked him. He called him Satan. He's like, you're in my way of what I need to do.
Yeah.
So I think the assignment is key. So maybe if you're a pastor or a leader or somebody and you're praying for a service, right? Mm-hmm. And you can feel there's something there. You know, it's in the way of the kingdom. So our job as ambassadors is to bring forth the kingdom of God. And to make sure that, you know, it's enforced. So that at that point, then we, you know, we use our God-given authority. And we execute what we need to execute with different weapons that God gives us. Different tools, different strategies, and different, you know, ways, weapons, I should say, weaponry. To be able to move it out of the way so that God can do what he needs to do. Yeah. And I think I agree with you. I think that there's times where people might say, I'm being opposed by an enemy.
Yeah.
I'm being attacked.
Yeah, and sometimes they were self-provoked.
Yeah.
Self-provoked.
Or it's not even there. It's made up in their mind.
Yeah. Or like for me right now, what I've been like, I guess what's been in my heart, where it's like where you get out of the way, where you stop being selfish, and then you start thinking of the bigger picture of like if you're in a church or like say in my church or our church, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, okay, well, get out of the way. How can we keep on advancing God's kingdom? Like, how can one do that? How can one unite and one feel and one fight the opposition for the church?
Oh, that's good.
That's really powerful. There was an angel that told Joshua, who was a crazy warrior. Joshua hated to lose battles. Joshua needed a battle to be won every time. He was good with sword. And on one occasion, he lost a battle. And that's when Achan had sinned. And he's ticked and he goes before God. You know, and he wants to know why. Why did I lose this battle? And it goes to your point, because there was, so he's angry. And the angel tells, one of the angels that showed up to help fight the battle tells Joshua, you know, this isn't against you. It's not your war.
Yeah.
Like, he made him see that this is God's deal. Mm-hmm. You know, this is all about God. So you make a really powerful point, because I think when we are in the way, it prohibits God from doing the fullness. Be it intercession or preaching or anything.
Yeah.
That's really powerful. But I would say to somebody who's maybe facing any form of opposition. You have to get good at hearing God's voice. Sometimes we'll feel it in the body, right? We talked about that. I think if you did, I'm a little leery, to be honest with you, about doing something like that. You know, where it's like, oh, well, when this spirit attacks, it's this. Because I think people, when they do, yeah, and I see orphanhood a lot, insecurity. Yeah. And so they're no longer asking from a place of, it's for mysticism. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to make anybody mystical. Yeah. So I'm not all about that. I want to be able to be very balanced and bring you the paternity, because it's a position you pray from, which makes you very effective and very powerful. So it's no longer like, ooh, I feel this. Ooh, I feel that. Oh, I feel. You know, Jesus, can you imagine? He could read thoughts. You know, I've walked into places where I could perceive. And you know, those are the gift of discernment of spirits. But I think you can get a little bit, people can get a little bit mystical.
Yeah, very, very mystical.
A little too much. Yeah. You guys want to add anything else to the public? Because we are planning on really training intercessors. I think that's going to be one of the greatest moves. I think that worship and intercession are going to really be a huge move in the last day. And it's important to train intercessors from a really good, healthy place. I want to see healthy intercessors. Because you either get the extreme, and I've seen this, they're funny and they make me laugh, but this is like, these little videos of this person, you know, and this person makes fun of church, right? And intercession church. I laugh so hard. They're hilarious. And they make me laugh, and I watch them because I like a good laugh. But it you know, one of my friends, you know, I sent it to him, and then he wrote back and he said, isn't it sad how it's true? And I'm like, yeah. Anyway, but in these videos, it's like intercession, you know, and the intercessors.
For Chick-fil-A,
yeah. And they bust out with their oil and their flags and, like, the shofar. And it just can get weird.
Yeah.
And I want to build healthy intercession from a very healthy position.
Yeah. That's so true.
And then I know that's, like, one thing you pushed in all of us is, like, doing everything out of the paternity.
Yeah.
Or sonship.
Yeah, because my best intercession shifts have been when I enter as a son. That's
true. Powerful.
Or when I completely get out of the way and want to get out of my flesh.
Get out of your head. Because you're right, and it's happened to you where you're just like, I can't.
Yeah.
I just can't.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're right, you can't.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't remember what shift it was. That was a couple of weeks ago. It was, I literally said, like, I don't want Obed to pray. Like, I want you to pray through me. And I want, like, the Holy Spirit just to speak through me. And I felt that so deep because I even wanted to, like, you almost get that feeling where you want to rip off your own flesh. And you're just like, why am I even in this thing? Like, that's where I was at. And that was probably one of my best shifts, because I remember I didn't want Obed to pray.
That's what brings the breakthrough.
Yeah.
Because now you start to align. That's what aligning to the perfect intercessor. Because we've heard that, you know, it's like, how do you intercede? Well, you have to align to Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay, but how?
Yeah.
You know, and simple. I have to get out of the way.
Yeah.
And you don't have to, you know, get your flags and shofar. Yeah. You know?
I think you see a lot of churches where they're, and not to bash anybody, you know, but like, and they just yell everything off the top of their lungs. And it's like, there's no power behind it. You know, it's just yelling to yell or to, I guess, to come off powerful or
maybe. And I think the enemy can, you can detect that.
Yeah.
I mean, the body maybe can't.
Yeah.
People probably can. You can probably fool people.
Yeah.
But you can't fool hell.
Yeah. No.
You can't fool hell and you can't fool heaven.
Yeah.
And hell knows when you're praying from what position. Hell knows when you are confidently standing in that position.
And I think you've always taught us, like, how to go into intercession, and you've never, like, taught us to go in the same way. It's always hear the Holy Spirit, see what He wants. Yeah, be led. How does He want you to intercede today? How does He want you to go in? And I think by you always, you know, yelling and going in the same way, it can become really religious.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because you want God to, like, do the same thing every single time. And it's like, that's not what God wants to do today, you know? Just
powerful.
Yeah.
I think I have taught you guys that, because I do that in services. Mm-hmm. And I don't put God in a mold.
No, never.
I think that's where it's really dangerous, and it's such a fine line of religion. Yeah. And I think maybe this might help somebody, that you won't fall into religion when you're a son mm-hmm. and when you're a daughter, because you're either a son of religion or you're a son of God. And when you fall into the sonship, it's that you hear your father's voice. And I wait and I listen. I do my part, but I'm always ready to change.
Yeah.
As you stated, you get out of the way.
Yeah, you get out of the way.
And then you let him just speak through you. You know?
It's funny because I've had times where I'm praying and I'm like deep warfare, and then I'm like, I chill out and I'm like, this is not my fight. Like, and that's where you just, you know, like, you're like, what am I doing? And then you just call it for God to come in, you know, and God do his thing. And then he brings the breakthrough.
Always.
Yeah.
He always wins.
Yeah.
He always wins. And he wants his kids to win. And I think that those are the most effective intercessions. I mean, I want people to learn, and so that they don't fall into any of mistakes. And if I've made mistakes, I would love people to learn from my mistakes, and they don't have to make them. Maybe there's a young pastor that's watching. It's like, how do I build my intercession? We had a shift. All the other shifts were running great, except this one shift. I won't mention it, but we have a lot of shifts. Our church has a lot of shifts. I mean, daily. Sometimes, you know, several. Anyhow, this one shift just wasn't running with that DNA that God had placed in my life. And I'm like, how do I break it, you know? And there was this... a strategy that God gave us to start to break it. And it was really to break out of a mold that had been structured, set for so long. Come in, this is what we do, next. Three brothers, three sisters. You pray. And it was just so structured.
Mm.
And so I said, that shift, I was like, I don't want you to come in the same.
I
didn't even say hear God, because probably the ears are muffled, because there's been so much religion. So we did it in a way where they began to praise and begin to just worship out loud. And I mean, there's different ways. I don't want to just say that, because there's different ways to break it.
That was a strategy there. Yeah.
Yeah. And we're creatures by nature, humans.
Of habit.
Creatures of habit.
Yeah.
We take something and we just like, it worked. Let's do it.
Yeah. I hate that sometimes.
Me too.
Yeah.
That's what brings religion.
Yeah. And okay, so this is a little bit more advanced though.
But all right, let's do it.
So Sunday, okay, like let's say if we have our shift Saturday morning, Sunday mornings, we always come in thinking like, well, we don't want to do the same thing as yesterday. But how do you know if it's the same thing as yesterday or if it's a whole complete different thing?
I don't know if you noticed, like when I come into service, I'm just quiet. So the armor bearers would probably be able to see me first. The minute I get off, you know, whoever picked me up and the armor bearers are there, there's almost this stillness in me.
Mm-hmm.
And I can still communicate to you, but still hear. So you get really good at hearing.
Yeah.
So you just, it's a tuning of the ear and knowing your Father in heaven. And then you're just quiet, but you could talk, but then you're hearing. So you come in, and I'm hearing, you're just perceiving an atmosphere.
Yeah.
Mm.
So sometimes I'll go up to the front, and I could feel that there's a huge wall that needs to break. Mm. And mind you, I may not have been here Saturday morning. I'll get the reports from the intercession.
Yeah.
But Saturday morning may run different than your afternoon shift.
Okay.
And then you got a night shift, and there they at it again.
Yeah.
And then come Sunday, there we are at it again. So like we've literally have hit it. And you know, it really takes a village to do what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to set and keep that atmosphere constant. I think it's a hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes I'm like, we need to hit it.
Yeah, 'cause
you could feel something. And then it's amazing. I love how God is just not a one man show.
Yeah.
'Cause it might be you. It might be you. It might be you. It might be you. But, you know, it's like somebody else. Sunday is a good example. Somebody just kind of like, and they kind of just shouted. And I was like, don't stop. That's it. And you could feel it. It's a perceiving.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you do something, the better you get. The sharper you get.
That's how it feels like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The more experience you start to acquire.
Yeah.
The more you understand breakthroughs.
Yeah.
and then you go and you can't put that in a box. And I've noticed that sometimes when it's just a high activity of spiritual warfare, just a lot of activity, and not necessarily just within, but just global, there's just a lot of activity. The enemy just went to town that night or something, you know? It's just like trying to keep people through sickness or, you know, trying to, you know, now just all of a sudden all the numbers went up, you know, stuff like that, trying to stop, trying to oppose. You know, it's very, sometimes I'll see the shift in the morning and it's like, they were hitting it.
Yeah.
Night or afternoon shift, they just hit it.
Yeah.
And then at night they hit it. And then in the morning, there we are hitting it.
Yeah.
And so by Sunday, we're just like, you know,
That's true.
Or sometimes we're just like, you know, cause you just had such victory.
Really, yeah.
And we want to be people where our prayers are effective. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
nobody wants to pray and nothing happened.
Yeah.
You know, if God told me to pray for rain, it better rain. So the voice is key.
Yeah.
Because if God told me hit it, or not necessarily that you're going to hear that, but you know, you perceive it. Today I felt clear, you know, that it's the enemy's works, the works of the enemy trying to oppose. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that are being opposed in different areas, but rest assured, God wants you to win. God's got the victory.
Yeah.
Now here, what is the strategy?
Yeah.
What do I use? You know, what is it that you want me to do?
Yeah, that's the big one, because I think you said, here, if God told you it's going to rain, it's going to rain. And I think many of the times where we say we're trying to fight against, you know, demons that are not even there. So it's like, or, you know, spirits that are not even there. When I think that's like something that I had to, like, you know, I got out of my intercession where it's like, if it's not there, I'm not going to say it, you know?
Yeah.
If we're not fighting it, I'm not going to say it. So it's like, I think that's a key thing where it's like, don't just pray things or don't just cast out things just to cast out things when they're not even there. You know?
That's very true. And then I've had to extend grace to people because sometimes they'll say something and it's just like, yeah, no.
Yeah.
It's like, it's coming from an orphanhood.
Yeah.
So I really hark on, let's not be mystical.
Yeah.
Let's not do that. Because then it leads you to these weird habits of just like, well, I perceived and I saw and I said and I, you know, and it's just like, no, it was somebody's phone that went off. That's the light you saw. Or just you can get really out there, you know? And you know, I mean, it's happened to all of us, including,
the,
you know, me.
The song that was playing.
Or the song.
Had a little bow or
exactly,
alarm.
Exactly, you know, it's just one of those. You know, I have a heart to really build a strong army in this hour, but for a very healthy army.
Yeah.
You know, David pulled the people out, those soldiers, made mighty warriors out of them from the cave of Adullam. No longer bleeding like they were, but they kind of bled still, and they still had some issues, because when they get to Gilgal, they're still like, we're gonna stone you, and they were still bitter. So to the point where we're not bitter people.
Yeah.
We have community, we get kingdom, and we truly have a heart to see God's desires be fulfilled on the earth versus our agendas or my plans.
Yeah. And I think intercession gets you there.
Yeah.
To really see that.
And I think that's key too, because like, the motive behind your prayers, you know? And I think once, you know, you begin praying for your church, you begin praying for your pastors, then it's like selfless, you know?
Yeah.
Totally.
You begin praying for the people's needs, then it's like he said, removes you out of the way. And then I think it takes off all the other motives, and this is why I'm praying, you know?
Yeah.
And I love what you said one time when you were speaking to us, and you said, our prayers should, where heaven penetrates, you know, where it impacts. It's not just, you know, like he said, praying to pray.
Yeah,
pierce the darkness. Oh, that's a whole other teaching.
Yeah.
We'll get back to the people on that one in the book of Acts.
One.
But I think it's...
Or shift something in the second.
You shift it. Yeah, it's like, whoa. And then, you know, it just, whoever came in bound.
Mm.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah. I always tell pastors, like, when I go to a place, I'm like, do you have intercession? Most of them don't.
Mm.
Or they'll say they have a prayer team. And it's like, no, do you have intercession?
Yeah.
You know? And you'll have a few key people, but I think intercession is key. I tell pastors sometimes, you know, I will never let anybody do ministry, at least at Ignite Movement. That's what God has called me to do. I'm not saying that's everybody's call, but God will not allow me to have anybody do ministry unless they are in intercession. Mm-hmm. I believe intercession is the key.
For sure.
Yeah.
To be a worshiper.
Yeah.
To do anything.
Yeah. I think, I mean, I can completely vouch for that because I've been a worshiper my whole life, and I think intercession completely changed everything for me. Wow. Yeah.
Took you.
Took me to another level. Because, I mean, you're not just praying, but, like, you're praying, and then things come to pass. And then that's another the thing, you know? So it's like, when you see that, like, okay, like, let's say in your shift, your leader was praying, and you were part of that, backing her up, and then that came out to pass. Or you prayed something, and then that came to pass. And so it's like, it just does something in you that you know that you're shifting something, and you're part of something.
That's powerful. But,
yeah.
It's like birthing
yes.
the promises of God.
Yeah.
Ooh, we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah. Besides all the, you know, pushing all the curses and all that. But man, it's beautiful when you see the blessings and, like you said, birthing.
Yeah, I think that God is about to usher in. That's why you're opposed.
Yeah.
That's why there's opposition right now.
Yeah.
It's just something's coming.
Yeah.
Something beautiful on the earth. So don't focus on the opposition. Focus on the voice of God to tell us how to do it.
Yeah.
And then enjoy the journey.
Yeah.
I love you guys.